Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. There's constant talk about finding out who we really are and the proverbial question, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? This is an internal quest as opposed to the illusory quest of trying to find the world. So the quest for who am I is the spiritual journey as opposed to the worldly journey. And we need to understand that these are two different journeys. There's our journey in the world and the things we do in the world and the things we accomplish in the world and the things that we have to have in order to take care of our physical body. And then there's the spiritual journey that tries to get in touch with reality, that tries to get in touch with who we are in reality as opposed to in this illusory world. Now, what is it that separates reality from this illusory world? What is the barrier? What is the great veil that separates the two? What keeps us from understanding reality? And that great veil is the mind. And in order to be able to understand who we truly are, we somehow have to bypass the constant interference of the mind. The mind is what keeps us from reality. And I often say that Satan doesn't have to get you to commit vile sins in order to get you on his side. All he has to do is get you in conversation. And that's what the mind does. It gets you in conversation about things other than reality. It gets you in conversation in a constant, circular, never-ending pattern where you are constantly reacting to what your senses perceive. So we have our perception, we react to perception. We have our perception and we react to perception. And that's what the mind does. It reacts to perception. Now, if we believe that we are the one doing the perceiving and doing the reacting to the perception, then we are caught in the world of the senses of action and reaction. And we are constantly in that mode. And if we are constantly in the mode of reacting to the illusory world, if we are constantly in the mode of reacting to the elemental world, if we are constantly in the mode of perceiving and reacting, then we are not in the mode of reality. We are caught in the ocean of illusion. And somehow we need to bypass that. So we need to understand, or at least ask, what is it that we have to do in order to be able to bypass the constant, never-ending, unceasing interaction that the mind has with the world that we get involved with. So the mind turns and turns and turns. We turn with it because we think we are the mind. Now, just for a moment, consider all of the things you thought about yesterday that held your attention. Well, you can't, because there were so many that you don't remember them. They just went on and on and on, and during the time that they were going on, they really held your attention. But after they passed, and new things took your attention. Now, imagine if you were able not to connect to the wandering hallucinations that the mind is constantly going through. Imagine that if it didn't catch you and didn't take you with it. So imagine that you stopped riding your thoughts, stopped being your thoughts, stopped thinking that you are your thoughts. And how do you do that? You have to separate yourself from the mind. You have to watch what goes on from a separate place inside of yourself and say, isn't that interesting? As opposed to, my God, where's it taking me and where am I going? No, isn't that interesting? And wow, look at the way it goes on and on and on and doesn't stop. Isn't that interesting? Now, the next question is, what does this have to do with me? Wow, it may have nothing to do with me, with the real me. It's just this noise that keeps going on and on and on. It's really something like watching television. You watch the TV, you get involved, and if you choose not to get involved, you turn it off. Now, you can't turn off your mind, but you can choose not to be involved. You can choose not to have the emotional trauma that goes with the thought patterns that run through you. So the name of my website is The Witness Within. So what we need is a witness within who watches but doesn't react, who watches what the mind does but doesn't become emotional about it, who watches but doesn't become distraught, doesn't become sad, doesn't become happy, just watches. And as we watch, we begin to see that this isn't who we are. We are something else other than the mind. And the fact that we're capable, and we are, of setting up a watcher distinct from the mind within us should give us the understanding that we are different and more than what our mind is. So we have to learn not to be a slave of perception, not to be a slave of what we see, not to be a slave of what our mind thinks about what we see. If you watch how your mind goes, it looks at things and it becomes a critic. It analyzes, it goes over, it says, how does it help me? How does this not help me? Does this do good for me? Does this do bad for me? And it's constantly centered on you. Now, we know that our egocentric self is not the truth of who we are. And if we realize that our mind is attached to our egocentric self, then we realize that our mind is not who we are. So, who are we? Now, there are some holy men who say that the constant repetition of the question of who am I will set off something inside of you that will show you the true self. There are others who say that you need to be involved in some sort of a meditation. The Sufis have various meditations, but one of them is La ilaha illallah. I do not exist, only God exists. Well, if I do not exist, then the chattering of my mind does not exist. And when we say does not exist, we mean it's not real. It's an illusory situation that catches our attention and holds us in place and traps us in this elemental world. Now, if we are to go beyond this elemental world, we have to be able to stand outside of it. Now, we can't stand outside of it externally because we're standing in it. We are in the elemental world, but internally, we can separate ourselves from the elemental world. And as we detach from the mind, as we detach from the mind's needs and the mind's desires, as we detach from the willfulness of the mind, we can begin to attach to the willfulness of truth. We can give up our will for the will of the truth, for the will of Rahman, for the will of Rahim, for the will of God. But as long as our will is the forefront of what we're doing, in other words, if we're constantly reacting to what the mind's telling us to do, we will constantly be involved in egocentric activities to promote the self. It's only when we detach that we can enter into qualities that are transcendent and promote the truth, because then we promote the unity among each other. We can promote kindness. We can promote love. We can promote giving, we can promote compassion, we can promote mercy. We can be in a state where not everything is about us, but where we reach out towards others, assist others, and help others. But as long as we're caught in the trauma of our own thoughts, we can't do it. We become obsessed with our own situation as if it were the most important thing in our lives. And what happens is, because we give it such importance, we then become emotionally distraught about it. And we ride the wave of these emotions, and we either go up or down depending on the idea that we have within this circle, if things are going well or if things are not going well. Well, in reality, Allah is always here. And Allah is always well. And Allah is always good. And Allah is always available. And He's always available to us. But are we available to Him? And as long as we're caught in the trap of the mind, we are not available to Him. We are centered on ourselves. We are clinging to ourselves. We are clinging to things in this illusory world, and we don't let go. And this is all about what's going on in the mind. This clinging is a constant thing. People cling to all kinds of things. People cling to their children. People cling to their jobs. People cling to their money. People cling to their fame. People cling to their pride. People cling to their religion. People cling to so many things. And all of these things trap them and hold them in place. People cling to their children. People cling to their parents. When you're little, Watch a baby. Baby is holding on. I mean, it's holding on. It doesn't let go of its parent. In the same way, as we grow older, we may not be holding on in a physical way that we can see, but mentally we're holding on and we're clinging to the things that we think are important in our life. And until we learn how to let go one by one of all of the things that we cling to, we are caught in the illusory trap of the world. We are caught and can't let go. There's a story about a man who wanted to catch monkeys in the jungle. So he went to the jungle and he bought a cage. And he set the cage up in an area where he knew monkeys were. And he opened the door and he put bananas inside the cage. It was a large cage. He figured the monkeys would run in the cage to get the bananas and then he would close the door. Well, the monkeys were smarter than that. They had sticks and they pushed the bananas outside the cage and then they took the bananas and ran off. So he was wondering what could he do? And while he was in the little town near the jungle, there was a village. And there were gourds that were being sold. And the gourds that were here had a round bottom and a long neck. And he saw a kid playing with one. And the kid stuck his hand into the gourd, but he couldn't get his hand back out. And then he had a thought. What if he put these gourds in the cage and the bulbs were long enough so you couldn't pull them through the bars and put bananas in the bottom of the gourd so that when the monkey grabbed the banana, he would make a fist and then his hand wouldn't be able to come out of the gourd. And he would catch the monkeys outside of the cage. And he did that, and it's exactly what happened. The monkeys smelled the bananas in the gourd, they put their hands in, they grabbed it, and they couldn't get their hands out, and he would catch the monkeys. So all the monkeys were trapped outside of the cage. And that's what we are. We're trapped outside of the cage. We pull the cage around with us wherever we go. We pull our own cage with us. We pull our own trap with us. We close the door to our own freedom by refusing to let go of the cage that holds us. We have to learn to let go of the banana. Now, the banana may be pride. The banana may be fear. The banana may be wealth. The banana may be love, physical love. All kinds of different things trap each different individual because we all have different aspects to us. But Allah wants the same thing from all of us. He wants us to give up everything but Him. So can we do that? Can we become free of the world? Can we become free of our attachments to the world? Can we become free of holding on to the various things that we think are important? Can we become free of this? And can we get to the point where we watch the mind, but we don't participate in what it tells us to do? I have a friend who's schizophrenic, and his mind told him to jump off a bridge. And he did, and he broke both of his legs. Now, we know not to jump off bridges. But everybody's mind, every once in a while, tells them something stupid to do. But out of self-preservation, we don't do it. Well, to hold on to the thoughts that we have on a daily basis is the same thing. We may not be jumping off bridges, but we're not jumping into the truth either. We're swimming in the ocean of illusion, and we're not leaving that ocean of illusion. We think we're sane, but in reality, we're crazy, because we think that somehow this world can sustain us, and this world can feed us, and this temporary situation that we're in will last forever, and we somehow have to maintain it. It's an insanity. But in the world, it's considered sane. So you have to get together with a group of people who've realized the mistake. And every once in a while, a man comes along who explains this mistake that holding on to the world isn't real, because it can only end one way, and that's with our death. So if we choose life over death, we have to give up the illusory nature of what goes on in the mind and separate ourselves from that and integrate ourselves into the qualities that are Allah. And then we can begin to become real, and we can begin to understand what life is truly about and the reason for our existence, and understand the truth that is constantly existing in this world that most people don't see, don't comprehend, and don't even wish to see or comprehend. We have to choose to be different. And we have to understand that this difference, you can't really talk about too much to a lot of people, because they don't understand it. Because this world is what they want, and this world is what they want to collect. And we have to let go of that. We have to let go of our desires and all of the inclinations that our mind has for us. Because our mind is elemental, deals with the elemental, and cannot understand the transcendent qualities of Allah. And if we wish to find the transcendent qualities of Allah, we have to separate ourselves from this clinging mind that holds on to the world. And in that way, we can become free. If you don't need things, you're free of them. If you need things, you're a slave to them. We need to give up our slavery and become free in our Lord. May that happen for each of us. And may we find the way to do that. Amin, amin. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.